following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9.
Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you.
Listeners to this radio show should consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company carefully before investing. The prospectus contains this and other information about the mutual fund, variable annuity, and variable annuity subaccounts. To obtain a prospectus, you may contact Friedman Financial or your financial advisor. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making a potential investment.
And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Alto Forno Restaurant. And I am joined today by my business partner, Marion Gilman. Marion, how are you this morning?
I'm great. How are you, Mark?
Good. It's been a fun couple of weeks, hasn't it?
It really has. Always interesting, right?
Which
is a good thing.
You know, I got to tell you, for the past almost a year and a half, it's been pretty boring, hasn't it?
There you go. You know, when the market only goes up, there's not a lot to talk about, right?
So there's stuff to talk about now.
Oh, you're waiting for the other shoe to drop, I guess. That was what we were waiting for.
We have been waiting, and how many years have gone by that we said, you know, there could come a day when the markets drop, you know, 10% in just a few days, and guess what?
We had it.
We sure did, didn't we? It was interesting watching, you know, we had almost five or six consecutive down days. I don't know what it was. Markets dropping 1,000 points one day, 800 points the next day, then up 500, then starting up 300 and then down 800. And it continues to be like that, doesn't it?
Wild swings.
Yeah, that's called the bungee market. And that's...
Is that a technical term?
That's a technical term. Yeah, that's good. What it's been. And what we thought we would do is, you know, there's been this issue of this coronavirus that everyone's trying to wrap their arms around. What does it mean? How should I prepare for it? Is it going to impact my portfolio? Can I travel? Can I, you know, go out to eat Chinese food? I mean, that's what people are really freaking out about everything, right?
That was a bit over the top.
No, it is.
That actually happened, yes.
That actually happened. People are saying...
The Boston Globe actually had a big article, go to eat in Chinese restaurants because they're losing business.
Yeah, it's crazy. Right? I mean, the whole thing is insane, and we're going to talk about that. I mean, it's serious, but it's not nearly as dramatic as it's been blown out to be in the media. And we'll try to put that into perspective today.
Yes.
And we'll try to put some perspective into what it means to be an investor rather than a speculator.
Or a trader,
yeah. And also, I mean, in the midst of it all, we've just had Super Tuesday. And a lot of changes have gone on in the political landscape over the past couple of days.
Well, that was exciting.
Yeah.
You
begin to realize how powerful the political arms are in managing this whole campaign.
Absolutely.
And so we've got those three things to talk about and more. I guess what we're really going to spend our time talking about, where we provide financial advice in a language you can understand, is to try to give you some context about the questions, the calls, the conversations that we're having in our office.
With our clients.
Yeah, over the past week and a half or so.
Sure.
Because I'm sure the questions that you have, perhaps you don't have someone to talk to. Perhaps you wonder what's going on. And
Should I do?
Yeah. I think it's more fascinating than anything is when people say, you know, I didn't think I should call you because I'm sure you're being inundated by calls. Your phone must be off the hook. Marion, was that the case?
No, it really wasn't. But, you know, and again, if it is our client, we always want to take those calls. They should never hesitate to call us.
Exactly. But
that's what we're there for. But no, we didn't have phones ringing off the hook
at any point.
No, right. We still don't.
But there's one thing for certain. When you get your February statement, it's not going to look pretty.
It certainly is not. Things have, you know, things always change quickly as well, so anything can happen, but February was a tough month. At the end of February was very tough, and we ended on a down note.
A significant down note. I mean,
right.
But that
final week.
But let's talk about what significant means. I mean, people will hear market plunges, market corrects, market crashes, all these things. Did people lose all their money this past week?
I hope not. Nothing went bankrupt. So that's when you lose all your money if you're in a single stock and it goes bankrupt.
That's how you lose your money, but
right, all your money.
But when you hear that the market worst point drop in, you know, you'll hear worst point drop percentage, all these different things that you hear in a single day, and what does it really mean?
Right. Well, you have to keep it all in perspective. Again, you know, a lot of clients will say, "Oh my goodness, you know, we lost $10,000." Well, if you lost $10,000 and you have $12,000, that's significant. But if you lost $10,000 and you have $1 million, that's 1%. So you got to have to keep it in perspective.
Always.
As well.
Yeah, percentages and dollars. We've had that conversation here on the radio.
We have, yeah.
On trying to help people understand that, because people are going to look at their February statement and they're not going to think of it from the perspective of percentages.
Right.
They're going to see, oh my God, I lost X thousand dollars. And
it's scary.
Yeah. And that happens. I don't see people running around saying, I made X thousand dollars over the past month or the past cumulative 10 years. No one looks at those numbers. It's that monthly statement, right?
Well, it's interesting. So I just met with a client who the other day, who we looked at what the, you know, return has been over 3 years versus what the return was in 1 year, 2019. So you have to keep in mind how much money you actually made in 2019, and that's where you're starting from. So when you lost money in February of this year, you know, you actually made some money in January too. So you just have to look at that relative to how much you made in 19.
Yeah, and it's hard to do that. I mean,
it really is.
When you're working with a financial advisor and a firm like ours, we're able to run scenarios for any time frame you want. And I think one of the things that we do well in our office when clients come in for reviews is, you know, if someone was coming in, March 8th, March 9th, something like this. Someone comes in and they say, how am I doing so far this year? This year, does this year really matter? I mean, it's
only if you've not invested before and you just started at the beginning of the year, right?
Yeah, it's
you're looking at that. You should never look at 3 months.
Yeah, we're putting together reports that roll 3 years back.
Right.
And I think that's healthy. And we can pick it from any time point we want, rolling back 3 years.
Because we've had good times and bad times in that. And a lot of people forget that at the end of 2018, now 2018 was a very good year up until October.
Mm-hmm.
And then we saw some pretty significant declines in November and December. So we had a really tough end of the year in 2018. Most people didn't lose a lot of money because we had a good market in the first 10 months of the year. So it didn't end up to be a terrible year. But, you know, keep that in perspective, and also keep in perspective how much you made in 19.
That's right.
So it's all over the map.
And many people are using their portfolios to take money out of their accounts as well.
Right. And so when you look at how much the portfolio's down dollar-wise, sometimes that includes what you took out, and you have to make sure you remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Conversely, if you're looking at how much in dollar terms the account increased in a particular year, look at that. Remember how much you put into it as well. We have a lot of those situations with 401ks.
Yeah.
People think they made a lot of money in a 401k, and yet they were adding into it all year. And they look at the growth and count in the additions as well as growth of the market.
Right, right. So we use the example oftentimes of someone that has $100,000 in a 401k, and over the course of a year, they added $15,000. And if you got 10% growth, let's say, on your investment in 2019, so 10% on $100,000 is $10,000 plus the 15 you put in, that's call it $125,000, and they'll look at their account that just had $100,000 here, and they got 10% growth, and they're at 110, and they say, my 401k did so much better.
Yeah.
But it really
not
didn't.
Not a fair comparison.
It's not a fair comparison at all.
Right. And same thing on the downside. So you want to remember, if you took out money, that counts in the decline of the value.
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. Right. So, you know, we've seen the markets go up and down. We've seen a lot of volatility. We've seen, you know, all sorts of sound bites from folks on the radio. And, you know,
and on TV.
And on TV and in social media and everywhere else.
Right.
But Marion, what are we telling our clients?
We start by telling our clients we want to have an appropriate allocation for them. And once we set that up, because that's what we do originally with the clients, once that's set up, don't trade. Don't respond to short-term market movements. That those are simply emotional reactions to what's going on. And that can change momentarily. I mean, we've seen it change in the middle of a day where the market's way up and then goes way down.
Yeah.
Or way down and goes way up. You can't listen to that. Just ignore it.
Yeah, more and more people are reading these headlines and they see stuff in the news that makes a prediction for the direction of where the market's going to go for the day.
And they don't know.
And they don't know, but it's purely a prediction. And oftentimes we're finding that the end result of that prediction might have nothing to do with what really happened in the market.
Right.
And that's confusing investors. And we're at a period of time where there's a tremendous amount of uncertainty. And uncertainty is what creates volatility and fluctuations in the market. And so in today's show, we want to try to highlight some of the questions that we're taking from our clients. What are people worried about? What are people wondering about? Whether it's the market, whether it's traveling, whether it's healthcare, what is it with what's going on? We want to address those issues and so much more. But before we take a quick break, I want to remind you to sign up for our free weekly newsletter. It is called Planning Pointers. It comes out each and every Friday morning at 10:30. All you need to do is go to our website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, to E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page on the website, put in your name and your email address, and we will get you our free newsletter. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Planning for retirement and managing your investments has never been more difficult. Chances are you're trying, but worried you may make a misstep. Friedman Financial is all about getting your financial house in order and providing financial advice in a language you can understand. Their interactive software and in-person conversations will help you determine if you're on track. For more than 50 years, Friedman Financial has delivered independent advice. If now's the time to get serious about life and retirement, visit Friedman, 2 E's and a D, financial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
If I had $1 million.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, located right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Alto Forno Restaurant. I'm joined by my business partner, Marion Gilman. Marion, thanks for joining me this morning.
So great to be here.
Yeah, you know, we're smiling.
Bright and early Sunday morning.
Yeah, we're so happy to be here. And it's been a challenging week or weeks in the market. And we thought it was important for us to both get together, kind of share a little, a bunch of thoughts as to what's been going on within the markets, what our clients have been talking to us about, what some of the news that's circulating around is scaring people about or giving people confidence about. And I mean, one of those things is the fact that this coronavirus is still around.
Right. And it's, you know, it's scary because nobody really knows what this means. Mm-hmm. We don't know what it means.
Right.
You know, how bad is it going to be? How many people are going to contract the coronavirus? Is it going to lead to more deaths? Nobody knows. So,
well, you know, we've seen, you know, everyone's sharing reports. Is this a big deal compared to other viruses? We're seeing, as it stands today, it's really not that big of a deal. However,
in terms of people who've died or...
Right.
Correct.
You know,
and even spreading, it seems to have been contained in some of the countries where it where it was, you know, has arrived and been diagnosed.
And, you know, there are still people, it's a contagious illness.
Correct.
And people are getting it. They're not dying from it. You know, some people that have had compromised immune systems and health issues are dying from it, of course. But I think at last count I saw, there was something like 90,000 reported cases of it and about 3,000 deaths.
Correct.
That's about 3%.
But they said that that could be overestimated as well, simply because in China there were a lot of people that had the virus that it did not get reported.
That's the problem. Yeah.
Right. So that 90,000 number could be a lot lower than what the actual number was. They think it. Last I heard, they thought it was about 1% of deaths of actual, you know, from cases and people that actually died. And I believe, it's my understanding that all of the people that have died from it have compromised immune systems in some
just
way, shape, or form.
Generally healthy people.
Right.
And, you know, what we learned, though, the biggest aha moment for me from this whole thing has been the number of reported flu cases that exist in America and around the world, and how many people die of the flu.
It's amazing, isn't it?
The number of people,
I was shocked.
It was, what, 40,000, something like that, in the United States alone last year. 40,000 people die of the flu.
Right.
And I don't know what their health condition was. I don't know whether they were in compromised health conditions or healthy to start.
Right.
But 40,000. Yeah. And imagine if that was the message in the reporting that was going along and out in the news today. We would have a whole different fear level that exists.
From the flu, right.
So So this past week, I was out traveling. I went to Asheville, North Carolina. And on Thursday of this past week, I noticed as people were getting on the plane and people walking around the airport, about, I would guess, 5% of the folks around were wearing masks, those surgical masks for protection or whatever. Just 5%. Not even, clearly wasn't 10%, 5%, but clearly, certainly more than none.
Right.
Right? I got on the plane. I didn't see people scrubbing down their seats and wiping their countertops and with all their sanitizing wipes or anything like that. I didn't see that. I then got to Charlotte. We got to Charlotte, and Charlotte was even busier, I think, than Logan Airport was. They're wearing masks as well at about a 5% rate. So you saw that going around. So we get there. That's now Thursday. I get to Asheville. I get back now on the plane on Sunday. So this was a week ago. So today's Sunday, was a week ago. I get back to the Charlotte airport. You can't find a mask anywhere. No one is wearing a mask. Now I'm thinking to myself, maybe it's because nobody's been talking about it for 2 days. You know, people watch the news Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, but Saturday, Sunday, no one's talking about this stuff, right? I get to Boston. Still, nobody's wearing masks. And it made me think about how the news of the moment freaks people out and how quickly 24 hours or 48 hours pass and it's forgotten. When's the last time you talked about the bird flu?
I know.
Or H1N1.
Right.
Or any of these things.
Right.
It passes, right?
Right. SARS epidemic, right? All of that.
Mm-hmm. It will all pass.
Sure. Yeah. And it will. I did hear, though, that hand sanitizer was going for $100 a bottle on Amazon.
Yeah, someone was saying...
some reseller on Amazon, I should correct that.
Yeah, I heard it was suggested that perhaps this is a promotional gimmick by Purell.
Right.
You know, coronavirus, sponsored by Purell. Yeah, because apparently they say you can't find it in the stores anymore.
Right.
I mean, come on. I mean, if you want to get some kind of antibacterial stuff, I mean, Bed Bath & Beyond sells them like crazy, right? In every fragrance you could possibly want.
There you go. So you have a resource.
Yeah, it's interesting, but... Go ahead. But,
well, I also heard, and you know, there were some people that came that had traveled to, and maybe it was the people who were on the boat off of Japan, the cruise ship off Japan, and they came back and they were quarantined in the U.S. at some naval, some military base for 14 days. And I heard that one of the people who was quarantined ordered from Amazon and had it delivered, you know, next day delivery, so she could have snacks and food and stuff, and they deliver to the military base. Why not, right? So She had access to her account on Amazon.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, not bad. Maybe it was sponsored by Amazon.
Yeah, you never know. You never know. So we were out this past week. You and I were at some meetings, and we were sitting with somebody, and this kind of caught me by surprise. She says to me, you know, I'm traveling tomorrow, and I'm really nervous about traveling. She says, you know, I'm going to bring my wipes, and I'm going to wipe down my seat and wipe down the counters. And I was telling her about our trip that we were on. And she says, I'm really, really nervous. I said, you know, you're more likely to catch the flu, you know, a runny nose, a strep throat, or a tickle in your throat on the plane than you will the coronavirus.
Right.
And she says, yeah, she says, but I'm just really nervous. But she told me that she takes public transportation to work every day, right? Did
yep.
she tell us that?
She did.
And for whatever reason, she's not so concerned about taking public transportation, and she's more concerned about traveling on an airplane. That just began to set the irrational tone for me.
The subways in Boston can be jammed at rush hour, right? I mean, standing room only, and you're crushed in there.
Right, and every day...
Pretty close contact, yeah. I would say.
And when a plane lands at Logan or any airport, what's the first thing they do? They go in and clean the plane, right? When a train stops at Haymarket Station in Boston, does a cleaning crew come on and scrub the place? I don't even know if that train gets cleaned once a month or once every 6 months. The germs on that train are disgusting. And in fact, we have a story in our newsletter that came out this week that said if you really want to try to sanitize, I know, if you want to really try to sanitize everything in your life, leave your phone at home, because one of the grossest things that you can hold is the filth that exists on your phone. Yet, no, we're not leaving work without that, right? We're not leaving home without our phone.
Right, I know.
So we're a little bit overreacting. That's what I think.
Do you?
Do you think
I
so?
I never would have guessed.
Do you think we're overreacting?
In some respects, yes. I mean, there are certain things that who knows? I guess time will tell how bad this is, but I think you can really get infected anywhere. I don't think it's limited to being on a plane or being in, you know, I heard that there were some conferences that were canceled because of the coronavirus. And you know what? I go to the supermarket. I think I could probably catch it there, you know? And am I going to stop going to the supermarket?
You're not going to catch the coronavirus. You could catch the flu. You could catch a lot of things.
I'm just saying, I mean, no matter where you are, they, you know, it's interesting because the people who are carriers don't know it. Mm-hmm. They don't know they're sick for weeks before they might, you know, actually show symptoms. And I also heard that young children are not getting sick from it. So they can be carriers, but many young children show no symptoms and never really get sick, even though they might be carriers of the virus.
So this becomes now an issue that's in the media. People are talking about it.
Right.
You're seeing stories in the Wall Street Journal of whether you should travel or not, or here's where you can travel to without mm-hmm. any worries, but here's where you should be careful about. Cruise, you know, if you were on a cruise line, people are saying, I want to cancel my trip. People are canceling airline trips. It's getting a little insane right now. To me, it's an opportunity for everybody. But if you're an investor right now and the stock market's adversely reacting to this, what do you tell people, Marion?
You tell people to just wait it out because, you know, in past cases when we've seen declines from viruses, so on average with SARS and some other, you know, Zika and a few other viruses that we saw that broke out, the average decline when that became public was about 12.5%. And it recovered very quickly afterwards. So that's not something to say, oh my goodness, you know, there could be a decline in the market because of coronavirus. Sure, there could be. But do we sell out at a low once it's already hit? No. I mean, you want to have, again, go back to, you want to have set up an allocation that's appropriate for you. And so that you are able to wait through any decline in the market. And a 10% decline is a normal every year.
Happens every
we typically
year.
Have
yeah,
that.
Happens,
you know,
every year.
Very, very normal correction. 20% declines are recessions, and we have those every 3 years anyways. And we haven't had one probably for 10, you know, so, we haven't had a recession for a very long time.
But the market could drop another 10%.
Absolutely.
And you still wouldn't react differently, would you?
No.
Let's be clear.
You have to
that.
Be a long-term investor. We are long-term investors. We have our eyes on the long-term horizon. We have to ignore all of the underlying noise. what's going on, what the news is saying this minute versus next minute versus, 1 hour later where more cases get diagnosed. It can happen,
Anything can happen. This is what they call...
exactly right.
They refer to this, you might have heard the term, a black swan event.
Correct. Who would have known?
Right. It's something that you say, well, yeah, I knew it was always a possibility, but I really wasn't looking at it, looking for this on a regular basis as my day-to-day planning or my thought process, but it happens.
Right.
But black swan events happen and then they don't happen. Right. And, they go away.
If you looked at all of the possibilities out there, the possibilities that the market could go in, could decline 20%, 30%, whatever, are endless.
That's right.
But the probability is relatively low.
But also the possibility of the market dropping 20 and 30% and sustaining at that level for
correct.
A long time
yes,
is a whole nother possibility.
Right.
And I don't see that as...
Right.
Only a very few things could make that happen.
Right. And again, it's that sustained, prolonged decline where you're not doing anything that could be very harmful to long-term investors. But we don't see that right now. I mean, that is not the expectation. And I don't think it's the expectation of, anyone who's talking about the coronavirus either. What I read about the coronavirus are companies are actively researching better, treatment for it, better diagnosis of it. That's what I hear.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not expecting this to wipe out a population.
Not at all.
They're expecting this to be a problem, yes, but a problem that can be addressed and hopefully contained.
I mean, think about this. Think about when the idea of AIDS presented itself here in America.
Oh, I know. Yeah, right.
And what AIDS...
Automatic death sentence, right?
Right. That's, that's what it said,
originally.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what it said. And did the market react to it? I don't even remember, but I'm going to guess that it did. But we figured that one out too, right?
Yeah, look at people who lived with it for years.
And people still have it, but
exactly.
It's under control.
That's right. So
right,
now very quickly, it no longer became a death sentence.
Right. And, everyone thinks about it. How is it going to impact me? How do these situations impact me? And people get really paranoid about waiting. Could it impact me? Should I quarantine myself? Should I go to work? Should I not travel? Folks, I think you should control the things you can control. That's what's most important. Control what you can control. And
don't go to China.
Yeah, don't. That's right. I'd stay away from China
me too. But other than that, like, do you have to not go anywhere? I don't know.
Right. There are no travel restrictions in the United States.
Right.
No travel restrictions in Europe, with the exception of Italy right now, has some travel restrictions. But you can still go to France. You can still go to London. You can still go to Belgium and Sweden and Holland. All those other places you can go to. No travel restrictions there.
Right.
There is some limited travel restrictions, I understand, to South Korea and a couple other places. But, folks... Look, 90% of Americans spend most of their traveling right here in the United States anyways.
Right.
And there's no travel restrictions anywhere. Even in the state of Washington, where there are, 4 or 5 deaths in a nursing home, right?
Right. I think there was one person outside of a nursing home and then four more.
You can travel anywhere. Right. We're talking coronavirus. We're talking markets. We're talking volatility. And we want to give you financial advice in a language you can understand. That's what we do here each and every Sunday morning. We'll be right back with more of it. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
North Shore Music Theater is turning 65 and celebrating with another extraordinary season of musicals. The 2020 subscription season kicks off in June with Thoroughly Modern Millie. The high-octane, Tony-winning musical filled with flappers, tappers, and a roaring good time. Then get ready to be swept up in our magical family production of Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella.
It's possible.
This will be followed by Buddy, the Buddy Holly story. And the hysterical sci-fi camp classic, Little Shop of Horrors. The musical season will end with the Tony Award-winning feel-good musical, Kinky Boots. Become a 5-show subscriber today and save up to 45%. The 2020 season will also feature the special springtime return of Mamma Mia. For discount subscription packages and ticket information, visit us online at nsmt.org.
What's next?
Let's talk about interest rates. Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. How are you doing this morning? It is Sunday. You've seen your portfolio go up. You've seen your portfolio go down. Perhaps you've wondered, am I washing my hands enough? Is everyone that's standing around me clean? Can I shake their hands? Can I hug them? Or do I have to do the fist bump, the elbow touch? You just don't know what you got to do these days, right? Because the media has scared the living daylights out of you that you may be connected somehow to this coronavirus. Likelihood is you won't be at all, but it can be scary. It can be, it's a sensitive subject with a lot of folks. Some people are far more paranoid than others, but we are here to try to minimize the paranoia. We're here to put rational advice during emotional times in front of you. And my name is Mark Friedman, and I'm joined by my business partner, Marion Gilman. How are you this morning?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Good.
Are you paranoid about this?
No. Are you?
Not at all. And, you know, I was talking to my daughter, Mindy, a couple days ago, and she doesn't think I'm taking this thing seriously enough, but she's a little bit neurotic about some of this stuff, too. And so we're trying to put this all into perspective.
Right.
And so, you know,
I probably wouldn't go to China right now.
No, but I don't think I would either.
Right.
And, you know, Mindy was out on the West Coast, and she's a little concerned because, you know, the West Coast is really oftentimes the feeding pool for folks that are traveling in from the Far East. And, you know, whether it's Asia or any of the countries over there, and there's been all sorts of, like Google canceled their national conference because of the large number of people traveling in from Asia who
right.
would have traveled in from Asia to these
right.
conferences. And there were some cancellations here in Boston, I think,
yes,
one of the technology conferences.
Right, exactly.
And some places are doing that. Some big companies are... have put in some quarantine restrictions if you've traveled to some of these countries.
Right.
They're just doing it as precautionary measures. This is not, you know, you got to lock yourself in a box and everyone's just trying to be careful at this point. And that's all we
and
can
I
ask
think that's
to do.
A wise thing to
but
do.
Yeah, absolutely. It's appropriate.
Right.
You know, one of the other things that happened with this coronavirus is, of course, is it's created the market to see some volatility. Market would drop down as much as, I think, almost 12% from its high. I don't even know where it is today. It's kind of bounced around and gone all over the place. It goes down, it goes up. And then on, I think it was Tuesday, the Federal Reserve announced that they were going to make a dramatic cut to rates by cutting rates a half a percentage point. Not a quarter, but a half, right?
That's huge.
It is. That's a big deal. And they thought, well, that would stop the bleeding. And so the announcement comes out and the market pumps up, jumps up a quick 300 points. But that was short-lived, wasn't it?
Very short-lived.
And what happened for the rest of the
and
day?
And it turned around, and then it went down. And it ended up with big down day.
Yeah, like down 700-800 points or something.
Right.
So, you know, the interest rates, the idea of the government trying to fix what the market does has never, ever been a good thing.
It really hasn't. And, you know, I think a lot of that was perception as well. Because the Federal Reserve had stepped in a few times saying that they were standing by. They were ready. If they saw problems in the economy, they would lower interest rates. So all good. I mean, they were standing there. They were watching and waiting. So all of a sudden they lower, and typically they lower 25 basis points, it's called, but 0.25%.
It's like a quarter of a percent.
Correct. And instead, this time they did a half a percent. So I think a lot of people looked at that and said, oh my God, I must be missing something. The economy must be in worse shape than I thought, because the Fed said they were going to wait until they saw problems in the economy to lower interest rates. That's my thought process around why it turned around and went way down and ended up with a down day, because typically, you know, in a case like that, we would have ended up, the market would have loved that.
Right. And what, so there's a good news and bad news when the Fed lowers interest rates.
Right.
For those of you that are going to what's called the flight to quality, you're trying to de-risk your portfolio, meaning right. putting money into cash or in bonds, you're not going to be very happy with the end result you're going to get there, because if you thought you were getting 1.5% or 1% on your money at the bank, sorry, folks, that's changing dramatically. If you thought you were going to see that on your CDs and your bonds and everywhere else, forget it.
Historic lows on Treasury bonds.
Right. So
10-year Treasury was at 1.2%, I believe it was, which is historic low.
And it dropped under 1% for a little bit, yes, this week, right?
Yeah.
So, but there is a good thing. If you're sitting around with an interest rate on your mortgage of 4%, 4% or higher, gosh, you can get mortgages right now in the twos.
Yes.
In the twos.
I actually think even if you're at like 3.75, 3.5, I think you can save almost 1% on those.
Yeah. And even...
Amazing. No, if you have good credit.
Yeah. I would believe that the phones are ringing off the hooks at mortgage brokers. And if you're a mortgage broker and your phone's not ringing off the hook right now, find another career, folks, because this is Christmas for you.
Yeah.
Really, it is.
Yeah.
And you should be taking advantage of that. And you as a borrower should be taking advantage of lowering your rates. I mean, if you're in the real estate business and you're trying to sell houses, two things are likely to happen. Number one, you can feel a little bit more comfortable raising the price of your home because the mortgage cost just, you know, you're able
declined,
to buy a,
yeah.
you're able to buy a bigger home for the
right.
same mortgage cost.
Right.
Or you can know that the population of people trying to buy your house is certainly greater now because there's a larger pool of people who can actually buy your property.
Who can afford it, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
So play that smart. But hey, if you've got a mortgage right now, or you're looking to consolidate some debt, and I'm not a big fan of debt consolidation. We're not debt consolidators. We do not do credit counseling, but don't miss the opportunity that exists perhaps for a very short-lived period of time to lock in a rate at something lower.
Absolutely. And, you know, but do avoid, as Mark said, you know, you don't want to decide to roll your car payments and all of this other stuff into your mortgage, because now you're paying for that car over 30 years.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense. The car is not going to last you that long. So you don't want to roll everything into the mortgage, but it is a prime time to refinance.
Yeah, but if you have an equity loan, if you have a mortgage that's just a pure mortgage.
Mm. And the lines of credit, too.
Right,
you know, if you have a line of credit, the lines of credit are usually variable.
Mm-hmm.
So you might want to say, okay, you know what? I want to lock this in now.
Yeah, and that's what we try to do here on the radio. It's called financial advice in a language you can understand. Yeah, we talk about investments. Yes, we talk about your portfolio, but we also talk about all of the other important parts that are part of your financial life. And
we do with our clients,
right,
too.
Every day. And the cash flow conversation is what's probably the most important conversation with our clients. Money coming in, money going out. Are we spending money wisely? We're not going to advise you how to buy green beans at the supermarket, but are you pulling money from your investments or using them wise enough from the right account so you're not paying as much tax as necessary? Are you taking advantage of what may or may not be out there? Can you minimize your debt payments? Because remember, folks, the interest on your mortgage is no longer deductible for most people.
Right. Most people don't itemize anymore.
And people don't realize that. I think that's fascinating. People still think, oh, well, you know, I'm going to keep my mortgage because the interest is deductible. Folks, for the most part, it is not.
Particularly for a couple.
Yeah.
You know, that's a pretty high hurdle to beat the $25,000, whatever it is now, this year. I forget.
Yeah. And many people are right now, you're filing your taxes. You're getting your refunds, or you're finding out what you owe. You're submitting, you're collecting your 1099s, and many people are taking the due diligence to write down every receipt and all of the charitable contributions that you made. Folks, here's the sombering story that the not-for-profits don't want you to hear, but I'll tell it to you. Chances are, when you hear these ads or you get solicitations, I don't care whether it's from the Girl Scouts or from your local church, and they say, make a $50 or $500 tax deductible donation to us. Chances are, folks, do it because you want to do it, because it feels good to do it. You're not getting a tax deduction anymore, are you, Marion?
Once again, you have to hit that pretty big hurdle of tax deductible expenses before you can take a charitable deduction.
Yeah.
Too.
So if you're a married couple, a married couple, and you're under 65,
right,
and you have expenses, your deductible expenses from interest, charitable contributions, etc., are under $24,000, you're going to get a $24,000 deduction.
Right.
So if you thought, well, I gave $5,000 in charitable contributions and I had $15,000 in deductible mortgage interest, well, that adds up to 20. Well, the government's giving you 24. You don't worry about itemizing it anymore.
And the state taxes are capped at $10,000. State and local taxes. So property taxes, excise tax, and if you live in Massachusetts, the state of Massachusetts tax, or whatever other state you live in.
That's right.
So a lot of people got a big deduction from those items all group together if you're still working. But
right, there's all these folks that are writing down, well, I got the excise tax of $58 on this car, and excise tax of $91 on this car, and then I got my state tax deduction, and you realize, just take the $10,000.
Yeah.
It's more. It's the government gives it to you.
Right.
So as financial advisors, we're trying to provide some rational advice to our clients, even during these most volatile times. That's what we do. Look, we
every day.
Yeah, we've had clients that have called it. We had an instance with a client that called us, and he had been trying to time the market. And we are not big market timers. We are not into that at all. But he figured he's got this thing figured out. And he called us up, and he said to us on Thursday or Friday of the previous week, he said, when the first person in America dies, when we have the first announced death, that's going to be my entry point. That's when I'm getting into the market, because that's when I think the market will hit its bottom and I'm getting in. It's time to get back in. And so sure enough, over the weekend, or the prior weekend, there was a few deaths.
Right.
Talked to him on Monday, and he said, you know what? We need to get in. And he got in, right?
Yep.
He got in, all on board, jumped in. He just put it to work. And then what happened on that Monday?
So as you recall, Monday was a big up day in the market.
Yeah, 1,300 points it went up.
5%.
Yeah, but remember, he wanted to invest on Monday. And when you invest in mutual funds, which is primarily what we were invested in.
Well, even we did some ETFs as well. So those trade during the course of the day, but the market was up 700, 800 points already, yeah.
And remember, for those of you that are investors and you're buying mutual funds, it doesn't matter whether you put your trade in at 10 o'clock in the morning, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, or 3:59, you're all going to get the same price.
Right.
That a mutual fund trades at the close of business of that day.
4 o'clock.
That's it.
Yep.
Unlike an ETF or a stock that travels second to second, whatever that time it was placed.
Yep.
So the market's now up. And then what happened on Tuesday, the Fed decided to drop half a point. And we thought, oh, that's going to be great, but the market drops 800. And he calls me up and he says, oh, I think I should get out. He went all in on Monday, and then the next day he says, I think I should get out. And I'm like, really? And I said, why? He says, because I think this could get worse, and I don't want my portfolio to drop another 25%. And I said, 25%? Now, so this is just thinking by one individual.
Yep.
Don't want it dropping by 25%. I said, look, the market is down roughly 10% at the time we got into the market. I said, you're down 2% based upon what the day was. I said, but for the market to drop another 25% would put us in a very challenging situation.
Right, recession territory.
Yeah, and worse. I mean, to go another 25% in the short term, I said, let's put a little guardrails up here. I said, I want to ask you something. Do you think that the market will be higher a year from now? He says, yes. I said, what percentage would you give it at a year from now? He says, 75% higher. I said, how about 2 years from now? 100% higher, as long as Trump's elected. That's what he said to me. And I said, I would agree with you. I said, so why would it matter whether we get in or out today, on Wednesday, on Thursday, a week from now, or a week later? It doesn't matter, because you're not going to remember what day it was that you even bought, because it's going to be worth more. And he said, well, I'm going to sleep on it. And so he didn't call back the next day. And so we're leaving it alone for right now. But this is, some people try to speculate, right?
Right. And it's really hard to do, because you have to be right twice. Mm-hmm. And that's difficult.
Yeah.
You have to know when to get out, and you have to know when to get back in.
Yeah.
And most people don't want to get out until the market's down already. You know, they don't get out before the market goes down. This gentleman happened to have gotten out quite some time ago, like a year and a half ago. So it was not that quick of a move. Let's
no,
put
it was
it
not.
That way.
No, he tried to be patient, but then he tried to get speculative. You know,
right.
There's all different types of people for all different types of environments, and we're talking about those right here on North Shore 104.9. We got one more segment left to go. This is Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Just got paid.
Friday night.
Friday night.
Party hopping.
Oh. This is Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial with important information concerning your retirement. In a rare showing of bipartisanship, Congress signed the SECURE Act into law. It revamps the rules around required minimum distributions from retirement accounts, and it changes the way non-spouse beneficiaries can inherit your retirement funds. If you've named a trust as your IRA's beneficiary, or if you're approaching retirement and planning to take a required minimum distribution, you may need to rethink your strategy. At Friedman Financial, we understand the new rules, and we're here to provide you with financial advice in a language you can understand. Give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. And schedule your free initial consultation.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. I'm sitting across from Marion Gilman, and she's singing along with the songs.
Mary. I love this music. Awesome, you know?
Well, it's nice to have you here on the show again today. It's been an important couple weeks, especially in our business, as we talk to our clients and we try to figure out, as we try to give them the advice that's necessary in turbulent times. And we're in some turbulent times right now, right?
We are, and we might see it continue. So just a fair warning.
But there's no reason to jump out the window, right?
Absolutely not. I mean, but we are in an election year. So we've had the coronavirus scare, which has really affected the market's volatility over the past couple weeks, few weeks. We had a decrease in interest rates, which added to volatility.
It was supposed to be a boost to the economy, but I still think it will. I just think it was short-lived.
We'll have to wait and see
now,
on that one.
Now, remember, you got to put all that into perspective. So we had the drop in interest rates,
right?
And it also coincided with Super Tuesday.
Well, I was going to say, we had Super Tuesday, which was a big primary election. Things turned out very differently than what many expected.
Because of what
particularly
happened.
Particularly in Massachusetts.
Right, because of, frankly, what happened the 2 or 3 days prior with Pete Buttigieg. Buttigieg, or whatever his last name is, Amy Klobuchar dropping out and endorsing Joe Biden.
Correct.
And so now you had basically four candidates that were running in the primaries. You had Mike Bloomberg, Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders, and Elizabeth Warren. She's even forgettable. Even we're in Massachusetts and I've even forgot her name. And so those four are running for office. And what we saw across this country was all of a sudden a rising surge, at least in many of the states, supporting more of the moderate candidate.
Joe Biden had not captured many delegates at all until Super Tuesday.
Right, because, right. You know, Buttigieg and Amy Klobuchar came out to support and endorse Joe Biden, who had not been polling well. I mean, Bernie Sanders had been polling really well. And then now, since Tuesday, Michael Bloomberg, who spent, just $500 million, just a pocket change. And so he paid $100 million per delegate that he won, which is really kind of scary. I just wish I could just kind of do that. And
next year.
And then just drop out of the race and say, all right, it was fun. But he comes out and endorses Joe Biden, too. So what you saw over the past few days was the strength and the power of the Democratic National Committee saying, we're not big fans of Bernie Sanders. Wouldn't you sense that?
Well, so it does seem like they are coalescing around Biden. And I think the general consensus in many quarters is that Biden has a better chance of beating Trump than Sanders does. That's what I've seen.
That's exactly. I mean,
whether that's true or not, who knows? But that's what I've seen.
Yeah, it's always interesting when you hear what, the news report on polling numbers, and they say there were many people, this is the polls that were out there that said if Bernie Sanders was the Democratic nominee, they might actually, and they were Democrats, they might actually vote for Trump because they didn't want Bernie Sanders to win. Now, that's not good for the Democratic Party.
Right.
You got to have at least a candidate that the Democrats want to vote for, right?
But you got to have to remember, too, though, that the polls are so wrong.
Last year's election.
Well, look at the 2 days before the vote in Massachusetts. It was Sanders and Warren neck and neck.
Right.
And guess what? Biden won.
Biden won.
So, very different than what the expectation was.
I always find it interesting with these polling numbers, and they seem to go to the same colleges. Marist College seems to have all of the answers with polling, and you know, Marist is not necessarily representative of what the country is. And there's got to be a point in time when the media begins to realize that the pulse of the country isn't New York, Boston, Philadelphia, Los Angeles. There's more to this country than heavily populated parts of this country.
Right. A lot of the candidates who play well on the East and West Coast don't play well in, you know, the Midwest.
They don't.
For
so,
sure.
So, you know, that adds to the volatility.
Right. Exactly.
I thought it was interesting when we came out on, what was it, on Wednesday, or actually when it was clear that Joe Biden was going to start to win a lot of these states, the market, after dropping the some 700-800 points on Tuesday with the Fed lowering interest rates, all of a sudden responds positively because they say, oh, it's because Joe Biden is now the front runner. I don't know whether I believe yeah. any of these headlines. I don't know how people come up with what's the reason why the market went up or went down.
Well, you know, that I think they you know, most people try to find a reason. And sometimes with the stock market, there is no reason.
Mm-hmm.
Very frequently, the stock market trades on emotion. And the market participants' emotions are very difficult to discern before the fact. So who knows? I mean, it depends on the traders who are trading that day.
And when you see the wobbles that we have seen in the market over the past week and a half, the big ups, big downs, and both ways on the same day, you realize that the market has no idea what direction to go in. And markets don't like uncertainty, but markets create fear. And that's what, you know, you add up this coronavirus issue, the uncertainty around the political landscape, the drop in interest rates, the government trying to step up to say, we got to fix this. You got the World Health Organization making some crazy statements, which they want to protect everybody. I understand that, but I do think they take it to an extreme. But that's what we all do. I mean, that's what news is all about. You wouldn't watch the news if they said, you know, flight landed safely at Logan Airport.
Right.
It's all about the scare factor, the sensationalism.
If it bleeds, it leads,
there you go, Mary.
That's the slogan.
If it bleeds, it leads. The more blood, the better.
Right, exactly.
And so when the market says bloodbath, you know, on Wall Street,
it's much more exciting.
It does, but it scares people.
But, you know, I think one of the most interesting slides that we use with our clients is the one that shows the recovery from 2008-2009. And that is very instructive today.
Mm-hmm.
So when we look at how portfolios reacted in 2008-2009, which is the most recent serious recession that we've seen. So if you, you know, from the high point in 2008, if you had 100% in the stock market, you probably lost about 50%.
Right.
Stock market lost about 50%. And how long did it take us to recover from that?
And you thought to yourself, never in my lifetime will I see my money.
Our clients told us that. I'm not going to live long enough for that to recover. No, you know, most of our clients don't have 100% in the stock market, but still, that was the thought.
Right.
And how long did it take?
It was a year and a half.
No, to get back to
Back to even?
Yeah.
For
100% stock
market. Oh, I don't remember. What was the 100%
one? The 100% one was about, it was about 4 years,
okay.
I think.
It was the 60-40.
60-40, very quickly.
That was the 18 months.
That was something like that, yeah. So, you know, you have to remember that to get back to even, and okay, so we get back to even, and what's happened since then?
What happened after that?
It's nothing but up.
And I think even more instructive than that, because I think you know, when people hear the market go down, they think about 2007, 2008. I'm amazed at how quickly people forget about October, November, and December of 2018.
Oh, right.
Just 15 months ago, right? The stock market dropped almost, it was like 19.8%.
On Christmas Eve.
Well, total of that. On Christmas Eve, it had been down like 19.8.
It hit that, yeah.
In a three-month period of time because of the China tariff issue.
Right.
And that's what it was all about. Well, you know, if the China starts making things more expensive, it's going to be a problem. And people got petrified.
Yeah.
And how quickly did the market respond back? Like 2 months? That's all it took.
Yeah. I mean, look what 2019 looked like.
Right.
It was amazing.
And then some.
Right. Exactly. Right? Yeah.
And so now we're in a situation where, because of this coronavirus, we don't have to worry about paying more for our goods. We just want our goods, and you can't get them.
Right.
You know, companies like Tesla, for instance, that talked about all sorts of great sales reports and how they're doing, they can't deliver their cars because the factory is shut down.
Right.
There's the copier companies. We had heard about somebody that was ordering copiers, and they said, well, if you can order the copiers we have in stock, and we'll give you some great prices on the copiers we have in stock, but if you want to order new copiers, we don't know when you're going to get them. It could be June.
Right.
And
well, I've heard some industries as well tried to diversify their supply chain, you know, so they moved out of China and they went to other places in the region, you know. Unfortunately, that's somewhat backfired because some of the materials, some of the inputs into the production still come from China.
Still come from there, right.
So this has been a real problem because they thought they were diversifying and yet it originates in China, so they're still slowed down.
Well, another example is Christian, who works in our office.
Yes.
He was telling me about his brother, who works for Harley Davidson.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And they're trying to create an electric Harley Davidson. And so they had shipped a whole bunch of steel to China to try to configure some prototypes for electric motorcycles. And right now, he says his brother and his team is sitting around doing nothing because the steel hasn't even been unpacked because there's nobody there at the factory to accept it.
Right.
So the project that he's working on is just dead right. until people go back to work.
But you know, remember, this is a slowdown. This is not saying that these factories are going to be closed forever.
Absolutely
that's,
not.
That's not even realistic.
You know
think.
They're going to open.
Of course.
Things will get polished up and cleaned up and people will get back to work. And so
and you know what? They'll probably ship more.
That's right. I mean, they're going to figure out ways to be even be more efficient. Now, I don't think there's any surprise that the sales numbers for Q2 are not going to be good.
Right.
Because you can't sell anything if you can't have the products, right?
Right.
But imagine what those numbers are going to look like from a percentage standpoint in Q3 and Q4.
Right.
And so that's where you're going to see a great rebound. That's where you're going to see a lot of support. That's what we believe, at least. And at least I believe it. I don't know if you believe it.
I believe it.
Okay. So I can't speak for Marion here, you know. But
you better watch out.
Yeah, that's why we don't act irrationally with our investments for our clients. We build proper portfolios. And one of the things I wanted to say about the portfolios is you'll hear the story about the fact that the market was down 10, 12, 8, 6, whatever percentage points. But most people are not, like you said, 100% in the market, are they?
No. And most people, you know, I mean, it might be 20% in bonds, 40% in bonds, 50, it depends how old they are, what their risk tolerance is. But they can ride it out. There is enough money in bonds so that they can ride out these declines in the market. We position them appropriately.
Right.
That's the key.
And if you're only 50% in the market and 50% in the bond market, well, probably you only lost half of what they said you lost in the market. And guess what? With the Fed lowering interest rates, you made money on bonds, didn't you?
That's correct.
So,
but I do have to remind people, you never make as much as what the stock market loses,
no matter what.
Bonds don't trade that, are not that volatile typically.
But our final message before we get out of here for the day is you are probably about to receive your February statements. They will be ugly. They will be ugly, and I don't want you to panic. If your advisor hasn't reached out to you to talk to you about what's been going on within the markets, how they're managing your portfolio, I'd encourage you to give us a call because we reached out to our clients. We've communicated with them regularly. We sent out regular messages to them. We also communicate through our newsletter called Planning Pointers. Comes out each and every Friday at 10:30 in the morning. If you want that free subscription, 7,500 people subscribe. Go to our website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, to E's and a D, Financial.com. And if now's the time to get serious about your financial planning and your retirement planning, give us a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. That's going to do it for us today. Marion, thank you for joining me today on Sunday.
Nice to be here. Have a great day.
It was a great day, everybody.
Yeah.
Have a nice Sunday.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.